Hey, AJ, does it make you feel bad when I say mean things to you?
Sometimes.
Deal with it. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for March 10th, 2000, and it's April. I was thinking so hard, I'm like, I'll go for March. Then I said it. I knew it was a 4.
I believe this was a video
podcast. I knew it was a 4, but I didn't know if it was 4 meant March or April.
That's even worse. I would have kept that to yourself.
So it's April 10th, apparently. Hi, it's Mike Bernotti, joined by my brother, Radjagai.
Hello.
We're here to talk about video games. So,
Mike.
What?
It's March 10th in an alternate dimension.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. You finally actually beat Bioshock. How are we doing that? Did you want to talk about Bioshock?
Yeah, we'll do a spoiler cast at the end of the episode.
Because, I mean, there's not a whole lot left to say at this point.
No, just some neat things to point out, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. I think we'll a lot of people didn't know of them, yeah. But we have our four topics to each. AJ, what are your topics this week?
I was going to talk about Maverick Hunter.
The canceled Mega Man X game.
Slash first-person shooter. And the announcement of Batman Arkham Origins.
Okay, I'm going to talk about EA being voted the worst company in America again. And the whole, what's that guy's name? Sorry, I had it up here, but...
Starts with an O.
Adam Orth.
Orth. God bless you.
Yeah. Adam Horf. Oh, do you ever sneeze so hard that it hurts, like, your entire body?
Yeah, like, little floaty things in your ass?
No.
Oh, I get
everything
those.
Hurts. Oh, okay. Adam Horf, he was that guy who said that he didn't understand what the big deal with an always-on system was.
Hashtag deal with it.
Yeah. And now, apparently, Microsoft didn't understand what the big deal with his job was, because...
Whoops.
Okay, so we'll get to that. Why don't we start with one of yours?
Let's talk about Maverick Hunter.
This is interesting.
Well... How long have I been saying on this very podcast that they should make a Mega Man game in the style of Metroid Prime?
And that sounded great in theory.
Well, this wasn't strictly speaking.
It was ex-retro people making a first-person Mega Man X game. Here's the problem. It's not like with Metroid Prime where they basically just took Super Nintendo, like even the aesthetics of it and like the mechanics of it and made it into like a first-person game.
They Bomberman Zeroed it.
A Bomberman X Zeroed it. Like, Mega Man looks like...
Iron Man.
An Iron Man reject.
Well, he was designed by the guy who designed Iron Man's armor for the movie.
It's bad. And he shoots out machine gun bullets of his arm.
And the charge shots are missiles.
And, like, the only enemy, it was just this robot.
Well, again...
I know it's all alpha.
Let's put it in perspective. It wasn't even alpha. It was a six-month prototype.
But let's assume that that was the direction... Yeah. I'm glad it didn't happen. And I'm not opposed to a first-person Mega Man game. I think you can do that. Like I said, like it should be the Metroid Prime thing. But
Their justification was, well, this is based off the X series, and it always was a little more gritty.
The X was kinda. It was really. It was more gritty in like an Akira kind of way, not like in a District 9 kind of way. You know?
Now, having said that, I still wish it came out, because at least it'd be a fucking Mega Man video game.
I mean, I guess.
At least it would show they were trying something.
I mean, it does. At least it looked like an expensive Mega Man game.
Right?
I guess I'll give it that, but I still don't see why if you made that, you couldn't just have it look like the Mega Man X games, or at least if you're going to do that, don't even call it Mega Man X. I don't know. It's a bad idea. The idea is good, but the execution was bad.
The execution was a little off. And I wonder if that's something that couldn't get ironed out over development.
There's like that neat thing where he would like charge at the bad guys.
Third camera. And they said apparently
you do like get weapons from people and stuff.
Did you read what the supposed trilogy story arc was?
Whoa, they had that much planned.
Oh, yeah.
No.
The first two games you play as X. The third game you play as Zero. Similar to the Mega Man Zero storyline... X becomes so powerful by the end of the second game...
That he's the bad guy?
He becomes the bad guy. That's and then you have to go after him in the third.
That might have been neat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, although in Mega Man Zero, I think the Statue of Limitations expired on that. It's not really X.
It's a copy of X.
Which is too bad. They should have went there.
Well, you can't go kill your franchise star. Well, Capcom's doing that already.
Right. Well, X isn't really, or at least supposedly, he's not really Mega Man. I think he's supposed to be a completely different robot.
He is.
Although some people claim that, like, oh, they built him on him. I don't know.
Like, the story matters, or is clear.
Which always begs the question, what happened to Mega Man?
He's dead!
They got his body somewhere! I think it's funny, because I still keep imagining, like, what if they actually do make that Mega Man game where it's the transition, and, you know, it's like, Dr. Wily built Zero, and he fucking kills everybody, and that's the end.
Yeah.
All right, but yeah.
You feel bad, the guys who made this are called Armature Studios. Apparently they seem to be betting pretty big on this, because the only thing they've done since leaving Retro, I think they did some work on, I think the Vita version of Metal Gear Solid HD for 2 and 3.
Okay.
And something else they just announced that we'll talk about later. They're doing the Batman or Arkham.
Oh, they're
Blackgate,
making the Batman.
The Blackgate.
Oh, the portable, one. Okay.
So, yeah, but it's kind of neat to see what could have been. Did Polygon say what their source was? Like, how'd they get all these videos?
I don't remember.
I don't think they did. Because they're like, we talked to Armature and Capcom, and they have no comment. And I'm like, well, someone gave you this footage.
Do you still think they canceled all these Mega Man games just because Inafune left?
Well, that's around the time this was canceled.
Why did they care so much about that? I don't understand that reasoning. And let me say this, Inafune gets way too much credit. He first off, he didn't even invent Mega Man.
Mm-hmm.
He was just, I'm like, he was there. He didn't even design him. He wasn't even the guy who drew Mega Man. That's not him. I mean, he designed a lot of it, and he was the reason why he gets so much reclaim now is, like, he's like the only guy who has been involved with every Mega Man game.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this idea that he is like the Walt Disney of Mega Man, you know? even then, Walt Disney didn't actually make Mickey, so that's funny. But, you know, or the Iowerks of Mega Man. Now I'm just getting into this whole other geeky thing. But my point is, it's like, it's not the end all that Keijei Inafune left. I like him.
Yeah.
I like him. Kind of. He's weird sometimes. For some reason, he doesn't think Mega Man 3 is good, and that drives me crazy.
I feel like that's an excuse used by fans for why it's being mishandled.
That can't be a business decision.
No.
Like, why? Like, oh, that guy left. We'll show him by canceling Mega Man games?
Because, well, it's interesting, though. When you look at it, we've had 4 Mega Man games canceled.
Yeah.
Legend 3, this, Online, and Universe. That's a lot of games get canceled.
No, it is.
He's going to sneeze.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I mean, look, hopefully the return's coming, and it'll be amazing. And, you know, it's, as much as I am annoyed by this and I say make a Mega Man game, I mean, there was a long period of time where they were oversaturating the market with Mega Man games.
Well, but that was all the network bullshit.
Yeah, there were Mega Man games nonetheless. I mean, if the new Mega Man games are portable.
Then, like, there's a lot of people like, just give us pixelated 8-bit Mega Man. Like, they gave you 2.
Well,
we
don't
need more.
Yeah, they did that already.
There's now, what, 8 of those in existence?
Like, if you want to do, like, a 16-bit one for X, that'd be kind of
neat. Yeah, I'd take that.
No, but no, I don't think we need Mega Man 11. Like, I don't think we even need a Mega Man 11.
Like, no, we don't.
And, you know, and
10's a good number.
All they really want, the thing I want, is to reboot Mega Man, like, tell Mega Man 1 again, make it a 3D action platformer with, like, awesome production values, but, you know, still keep the style of it. Like, make it look like that PS3 game that looked like a cartoon and looked, or PS4 and looked amazing. What is it called? The first one they showed.
Yeah.
With all the polygons.
The name's escaping me.
Right. But, I mean, like, something like that.
It'd be awesome.
Like, something like a Ratchet. I always say, do Ratchet and Clankify it.
Yeah.
Follow that formula. It would work.
Oh, totally.
All right. So, poor Mega Man. Everyone knows I love Mega Man. That's what we talk about all the time. I'm sorry. There must be some people who do not like Mega Man. Listen to this podcast. Like, ah. I swear to God, every fucking week with that guy, it's Mega Man this. All right, so Electronic Arts, the consumerists, they run their yearly poll on who the worst company in America is, and EA won again.
Again.
and apparently it is bad timing, because last year it coincided with the Mass Effect 3 ending debacle,
mm-hmm.
and this year it coincided with the SimCity thing.
Right.
But the fact remains, it shows that a lot of people are not happy with EA.
Did you read Peter Moore's response?
Well, I hate to use the word offended, because you know how much I hate that, but here what I thought was a bad move. Like, Peter Moore wrote a thing, and basically, we'll do better, but Come on.
Look at how sweet we guys. Are. I mean, the tallest tree gets the most wind or whatever he said.
And he said, you know, people claim the always-on function of SimCity is the ARM scheme. It's not. Period.
Okay.
Well, here's the point.
Semantics.
But here's the point. Then why is it there?
So we
It's still a bad idea.
So we can create a vivid online community of interconnected cities.
No one cares.
I know.
No one cares.
I don't think they understand. They're like, no, guys, seriously, this idea is so awesome.
It's not that awesome.
And, like, everyone's pretty much said, no, it's not. No, but you understand our vision. No, we get it.
And I'll tell you what. It's like, all of the techie people say this is stupid. That's another thing with the Xbox 360. Like, all the people who are on the internet the most say that they don't like the idea. What is, like, what is Joe Call of Duty going to think about that shit? I don't know. What are they going to think, like, when they're on, when their internet connection is not up or something and they can't play Call of Duty Black Ops 7 reverse battle FUT bucker? Okay, he said, some claim there's no room as for Origin as a competitor to Steam. 45 million registered users are proving
because
wrong.
You need to use it to play SimCity and Battlefield. People want these games, but it doesn't mean they want Origin.
It's kind of a mute point.
No, I don't want Uplay.
It's kind of a mute point because nobody's all that upset about Origin anymore.
No.
So that's not the reason why. Some people think that free-to-play games and microtransactions are a pox on gaming, blah, blah, blah.
No, finish that.
Tens of millions more are playing and loving those games.
Probably just because they're playing it doesn't mean they're loving it. My God, I love being nickel and dime. Yes, more Real Racing 3, it's the best game ever.
I don't think 10 million people are playing EA's.
They're playing League of Legends and Dota.
Here's the one that, like, in the past year, we have received thousands of emails and postcards protesting against EA for allowing players to create lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual characters in our games. This week, we're seeing posts on conservative websites urging people to protest our LGBT policy by voting EA the worst company in America. Fuck you! That is not why you were voted this. Because you hate... Now all of a sudden, they're like the valiant knight who are protecting gay people. Yeah. No, you asshole. That had nothing to do with anything.
Did you see the consumerist response to Peter Moore's response?
Something like, what was it?
They're basically like, look, everyone who votes writes a comment on why they're voting this way. No one listed any of those reasons.
Right, and that's ridiculous.
All the reasons were your games aren't as good as they used to be and your services are restrictive.
And then you try to claim that a large number of people did it because they didn't like the Madden cover athletes.
Look, no, how about like the Madden franchise as a whole is really stale and needs a shot in the arm. I don't care who's on the cover.
Look, regardless of what Peter Moore or EA wants to say, like, oh, it's not fair, their company is worse than us, fine. But what does that say about you guys that you keep winning this? Your public image is fucked. It is bad, and you're not doing much work. And it can't be fixed.
And you know what? You just had your CEO step down. This was your chance to reimagine the company. And instead, you can't say, no, it's fine. We're going to do the same thing because everything's fine.
I don't even know why they probably shouldn't have even acknowledged this thing.
No, they should have just
let it go. They probably just let it go. Like, what are they going to say? It's going to make it better because they can't admit that they suck and there's no good defense for it.
And the thing that annoys me is I always liked Peter Moore. Like when he was with Microsoft, I always thought he was a good spokesman. But just lately, it's just like, dude, shut up. Well, he was going on forums and responding to trolls about SimCity. Like, dude, what do you do all day? Because apparently it's not much if you have time to do that.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's always kind of towed the company line. The problem is his company kind of sucks right now.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I don't know. I still, in the grand scheme of things, don't think that EA is really any worse than a lot of other companies. They've just been making dumb decisions lately. Just terrible ones. And I don't know what they're going to do to turn around. Probably sell 20 million copies of Battlefield 4, but there's commercials for that already, like, on all the time.
I know.
When's that game come out? October?
Yeah.
Jesus. I like that commercial, I have to say. I like the song. It's like this nice song. It's kind of like a moody, almost epic-ish song, and then, like, it... Yeah, I'll tell you what. Every time I hear the Battlefield theme...
Oh, you love that shit.
It makes me, like, want to like Battlefield still.
Yeah, I like Battlefield.
Like, the end of that commercial when it's, like, epic, and it's like... And it's, like, kind of... It's not as technically as in 3, so in 3 it didn't have, like, an effect on me, but here you can kind of hear it. I'm like, I liked Battlefield 1942.
That game came out a long-ass time ago.
Did you ever play the future Battlefield? I never tried it.
2142? Yeah, I don't think it was... Briefly. I think there was a demo. It was okay.
It's weird how there's two other major Battlefield games that do not get counted chronologically, huh?
Oh, yeah, Battlefield 2142, the game that had in-game billboards that use your browser history. Yeah, a lot of games are doing that now.
But the second one was not Battlefield 2, it was Vietnam.
Right. That was good. What? It was buggy, though. It was very glitchy.
I remember not having much love for Battlefield 2. That was, like, right in the beginning of the modern warfare era.
Right.
Everything's modern this, modern that. So, yeah, EA sucks. What's next?
Batman. Na, 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 na.
So this is kind of a mixed good news, bad news announcement.
Yeah, okay, so here's the objective story here is that they've announced Batman Arkham Origins, which is a prequel to Arkham Asylum. Prequel. So we have like an inexperienced Batman making mistakes. Oh yeah, that's who I want to play as. Yeah,
what does that even mean? How can Batman make mistakes unless I do?
The example given is he's like interrogating someone and he accidentally chokes them out before he gets the information he needs.
I don't
want
to see that.
Not like doesn't kill them, but they pass out.
Yeah, well, no, better.
Yeah,
not kill
so
them.
Shit like this. Now, so it's not being made by Rocksteady. It's being made by Warner Brothers Montreal. Do you know what this reeks of to me? Rocksteady is working on the next real Batman game.
Right, like the next
that's
going
to come out on next-gen platforms. And like, well, we need to have a Batman game
this year. We need to have
one
every 2 years.
So you guys make a prequel so we don't fuck up their story, but we still make a Batman game.
It's kind of what it feels like. And like, I have mixed feelings because I really like those Batman games.
I do too. They're excellent.
They're
some of the best games of this generation.
They really are. They are fan-flippin-tastic. But yeah, Batman Arkham City, it's got to be top five up there. I mean, it is good.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as far as open world games go. The only one from this generation I can think of that I like more than it is Red Dead Redemption. Yeah. I mean, it is good stuff. Combat, like the melee combat system in the game is probably unparalleled.
It's the standard that everything's to now.
Right, everything's
Batman combat now.
And everything's like it and none of it's quite as good yet.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, but, and so like part of me is like, well, I assume these guys are just going to try to copy that, and maybe it won't be as good, but it can't be bad.
Right.
Right?
That's the hope, at least.
Like, and we saw in screenshots, and we saw penguins there, and some characters I'm not familiar with, Deathstroke.
There's a new character, that's another thing. There's like this guy who's like a mob boss supervillain.
Is the Joker going to be in it again?
It's possible.
Yeah, it's got to be open world. What's the open world justification going to be this time?
I don't know. Well, they said it's going to be basically the same geography as Arkham City.
Ew.
But it's not all turned into an insane asylum yet. It's just that part of the city.
But that's
along with like another part of the city, so it's twice as big.
But the problem with that, I know it's twice as big, maybe, but that's weird. They're just going to reuse the geography.
I don't know that, like, literally, but that's...
But, like, that's weird because it was kind of ingenious in City because the storyline problem with that is, like, what do you do with all these, like, pedestrian characters?
Right.
Because those are always the ugly sort of thing in these open world games, these pedestrian characters that kind of just walk around and do anything.
Well, the other thing, too, is they're saying, well, you could use the Batwing as, like, a fast travel, but if you do, you'll miss out on some random street crimes and bonus XP.
Yeah, no fast travel.
So but the thing is, knowing the way I play games, I guess I'm not seeing some random crimes and bonus XP.
Mm.
Ultimately, I'm going to use it.
Yeah, I almost wish I wasn't there.
Right.
I mean, like I said, there's very mixed feelings. I'm sure it'll be fun.
It's not going to be...
It's not the direction I wanted.
Like I said, I'm positive that Rocksteady is working on Batman Arkham World or whatever.
Yeah, and it's going to be
that's going to come
like,
out for the PS4
yeah,
and the
exactly.
Xbox whatever. And
it will be like
high-end
amazing.
PCs and not the Wii U. But we're also getting Arkham Retribution, which is being billed as a 2.5D kind of Metroid-style Batman game for 3DS and Vita, being developed by Armature Studios, the guys who were going to make Maverick Hunter.
Well,
so they're making
job.
Something.
Yeah.
That could be interesting. I don't know.
There's no reason why not.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
I find it interesting that it's going to be on both systems.
The Vita one will probably better.
Look better.
That's the thing. When you're doing cross-platform with the Vita and 3DS, usually I feel like you want the Vita one.
Right.
Because like, if you make a game for the 3DS, it can be fantastic. I don't know how good it is when you just kind of like...
Yeah, just throw it on there.
Right.
Do whatever.
So, I don't know. Batman, I'll probably still want to like it.
Yeah.
All right. You want to talk about this... Orth guy?
Yeah.
Adam Orth. So Adam Orth, who is a creative director at Microsoft. I don't know what that means, by the way.
He creates things.
Okay.
And tells them where to go.
So he's basically the next, he's basically the latest guy to fall
on his own sword.
Yeah, because he was tweeting about how he didn't understand why always on console is a big deal. You know, about how that's just the world we live in, and you should, you know, people on the internet should get it. And that's like what he's saying isn't. It's not like that controversial an opinion. He's not terribly wrong. And a lot of people were upset because he was like joking about He was like, some guy was like, oh, but what about people in the country? They don't have internet as readily. He's like, oh, why would you live in the country or something like that? That was probably a joke.
But still, but when you're an official at Microsoft, watch what you say online.
Well, but the problem was, I don't know if he underestimated how touchy an issue this is.
I think he did.
I think he really, I think he did not understand how badly people do not like this idea.
The one tweet said something to the effect of, you know, all of our devices are always online. Hashtag deal with it or whatever it was. Something to that effect.
Well, deal with it is the worst thing you could do ever. Right.
But not even that. Like, so this argument that, well, everything's already online. Yes and no. And I'll give you an example. So my phone is presumably always online. So when I'm driving down the street, at any moment, I should be able to hit my Siri button and have it play a song. But I can't tell you how many damn times, because I have Sprint, which is the worst, where I hit like a dead zone and it doesn't work, and my options, because I'm in my car, are try again or do nothing. But when I'm at home, if for whatever reason my internet doesn't work, I can do something else. I'll go play my PlayStation.
Right. Like, I mean, look, the point
you don't
is,
want to create that situation where you're giving me a reason to do something else. I mean, you don't want to do that.
You're going to have a few days in the year where that internet connection just ain't working too hot. You know,
can you imagine if Xbox Live goes down? The authentication servers go down. It happens to the PlayStation Network. Xbox Live itself.
Yeah, I don't know why they think that won't happen.
Xbox Live itself has been down for maintenance, but it never mattered because you're just like, oh, I'll play something single player.
And it's completely disregarding the bigger issue of the kind of anti-piracy measures. The idea that you have to lock one game to one system, which
I wonder, is piracy that bad? Like, legitimately really? That bad?
Especially for consoles, are there really that many people who have, like
modded their Xbox?
Right, to play, like, Gears of War Judgment or something? Is that really I can understand on PC.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot easier. Is that really that big an issue?
Yeah, again, or, like,
I don't think it's piracy.
It's Joe Call of Duty in his dorm.
I don't think it's piracy so much. It's the secondhand market. They don't want people playing used games.
Yeah, you know, I understand the frustration for developers, maybe.
Well,
but again, GameStop's argument holds water to me. That most people, because I know I do this, trade in used games to buy new games.
No, that's exactly what I do. Well, and here's the problem. Look, the used game market exists because it fills a need. Video games are expensive.
Yeah, you know what? You want to kill the used game market? Make $30 video games.
Right. So the used game market basically had to be because people were willing to pay like $10 less for a slightly used game, and people like love to trade in games so they can get new ones.
Yeah, because the used game price is always going to be based on a percentage. And when your base price is smaller, the percentage off becomes smaller.
And again, this is like, I think it's just terrible, this notion that you wouldn't be able to like share games with your friends anymore, especially for children.
Or us in the same house with two Xboxes. Right. If I couldn't come downstairs and say, hey, try out my copy of Bioshock.
It's ridiculous.
That's dumb. It's ridiculous.
And that's the thing, too, with all this ORF stuff, like this guy coming out and defending it. Does that make a lot of people are now believing this is happening?
I'll say, I've been fighting against you on this for the last few weeks. This whole thing has me worried.
It's happening, Hatchkin.
It has me worried, okay?
Get ready. Here we
go. And I'll tell you this. I mean, yeah, I like Halo, but I don't know of too many other Xbox exclusives that I'm like, oh.
I'll tell you what. I was thinking about that. Like, if I didn't get an Xbox 720, what would I be missing out of?
Halo,
I don't care. I care about Halo far less than you do.
Right.
Gears of War, I am done with Gears of War. You know, I mean, it's,
yeah, I had the same mental conversation myself.
Meanwhile, Sony, like, there's no way I'm not gonna play the next Uncharted game, you know? Like, that's not gonna happen.
And if it comes to where it's like always online, it's for your own good, I'll be like, a PlayStation, please.
I can't believe that they would even risk this,
especially
crap.
Now in the
in this era where there aren't that many exclusives. Like, I well, What else is there, seriously?
And when Sony has already confirmed they're not doing this.
Right.
Now, here's an interesting thing. Supposedly, Microsoft was rumored to be having the event in April to announce the next Xbox, but it's been pushed to May.
Do you think they're changing it?
I think they might be.
You think they're panicking?
I think they might be.
Might be smart.
Between the fact that Sony's not doing it and the universal public outcry against it, I think they're like, wow, we can't do this.
Maybe you're right. I mean, at this point, they would have to.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Be like, we'll risk it.
It would be PR suicide.
Because
to have a system that does that. How do you explain it in a way that does not make it sound like we're doing this to fuck you over?
Right. There's no, I can imagine that conference right now, them awkwardly trying to tell us why it's a good thing and showing us,
And I hope if they do that, every person at arena boos the whole time they're talking.
But AJ, it'll be great because, imagine you're playing Halo and a word bubble comes up and it's from somebody else who already played Halo and they're like, "Lol, this section was hard."
Yeah, I don't want that. There's a reason I like Bioshock Infinite. It's because I played it by my fucking self and no one bothered me.
But AJ, think about all the how you can always be online and connected to your friends while playing Bioshock.
Everyone talks about how great the Miiverse is. I couldn't give two shits about the Miiverse.
I've not done much of anything with the Miiverse.
You know what the Miiverse is? When I'm playing Super Mario U, every so often, someone has, a word bubble comes and says, "Oh, this level's hard." Oh, my gaming experience is so enriched.
And we're so connected now.
Yeah,
we're connected to that person.
Fantastic.
It's one big old world.
I blame Demon's Souls.
Yeah, Demon's Souls did it well, at least. And it's funny how, that was such a, so awesome. But now it's being put into everything, and it kind of sucks.
You can implement it on the game level, I think, when it makes sense to the game design. But as a system macro function, no.
Right.
No, I don't need that. I didn't need to be playing Bioshock and have a thing pop up that says, "There's a voxophone in that building."
Even having the notifications that friends are online while you're playing a game is intrusive to me. I hate that bullshit. Even achievements anymore. Now that I'm over achievements, whenever I get one, I'm just like, that's fine. Thank you. Yeah, great. I got, sweet. You know? Oh, Brave New World. Mm-hmm. I mean, Microsoft it's going to be really interesting because let's say this does happen. Let's say that Microsoft releases a system that's always online, slightly less powerful than the PlayStation 4 and priced about the same. Ooh, yeah. Man, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's
they better very be hoping that the goodwill they built up in the last 8 years is worth something.
Or they'd better come out a month sooner.
I don't know.
Something.
Right. I mean, whoa. It's going to be exciting, I think.
They better play Blu-rays at least.
Yeah, it's got to. But yeah, PS4 is looking pretty good.
I just wish that... I hope some third party makes a PS4 controller where they switch the D-pad and the analog stick.
See, that has never bothered me.
It bothers me a little bit. Never more so for shooters. Because, how many shooters do you play on the PlayStation? First-person shooters.
Not many. Did I just play last? Well, I play all my third-person shooters, ironically enough, on there. It never bothers me. I played Tomb Raider on there. I was fine with it.
Right.
I don't know. It's just a thing. You get used to it.
Okay.
All right. I feel kind of bad because I'm doing the thing that I was kind of mad at everybody for doing for the Wii U, burying it before it came out, and this system hasn't even been announced yet.
Yeah. Technically, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, but the point is, look, when there's this much negativity about your system before it even exists,
yeah, that's a problem. The thing too. They need to fucking announce it already. It's getting ridiculous to see all these.
They can't let everybody
out for PlayStation 4 and other next gen systems.
And they can't let people kind of stew in this sort of bitterness, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's just it's a bad situation.
Well, what are going to be the 360 launch titles that won't be PS4 launch titles? Because
there might be a Forza, because Turn 10 didn't make the last one. They made Forza 4, but then Forza Horizons was another studio, so they could launch with a Forza.
But there's not going to be a Halo game. There's not going to be a Gears of War game.
There could be, no, because Epic's making that Fortnite, and I'm pretty sure that's not going to be exclusive or anything.
Are they still even making that?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're pretty proud of it so far, it seems. Gosh. New Fable?
I forgot about Fable. Wow. But, my point is, Sony, even though, some of the exclusives don't exactly light my world on fire, they have a Killzone, they have an Infamous, they got stuff ready to go. Okay, so let's talk about our weekend game.
Alright. I beat Bioshock. We'll do a spoiler thing at the end, but to just say vaguely, I think the game is fantastic. I loved it very much. Let's talk a little bit about just some gameplay things, I guess, because some people, like, we just had a hangout for the Too Old for This community, and they're going to publish that, so you can check it out on their site. But a lot of people are saying that they didn't feel the gameplay itself was anything that spectacular.
I don't get that.
Well, I'll pose to you the same question I posed to them. Did you kind of just pick two weapons and two vigors?
Yeah.
See, I realize the game kind of lends itself to that because
you can only carry two weapons.
Yeah, and you could easily have two vigors mapped. I kind of not so.
Well, maybe not so much the vigors. I kept two weapons, but for the vigors, I was kind of a bit.
Okay,
more interested.
So you actually went to that menu and switched vigors.
Oh yeah, all the
seems
time.
Like a lot of these guys I was talking to just used two vigors. And that was it. They didn't even bother.
Okay.
Which I could see why maybe you don't think the combat's that great if you're not using it.
I don't understand that means the combat's not. It's a first person shooter. I mean, the combat's gonna be the. You know,
that was their argument. Is that it was just fine. It wasn't anything extraordinary.
But the thing that really elevates it are those big segments when you have those skyhooks.
A lot of guys didn't use them.
Why not?
I don't know.
That's like the best part of the game.
I couldn't quite understand why they were saying they didn't like them.
I love.
I mean,
the
some guys found them just a little unwieldy. Did you know you could lock on when you're on a skyhook?
To what?
Like an enemy?
No.
Yeah, I didn't either until the very end of the game. I figured that out.
Oh, I had no
which
idea.
Made that even better. Well, let me ask you this, too. How often did you change your gear?
Not too often, really.
I found a set of gear where, like, almost everything but my hat enhanced my abilities on sky rails.
Oh, yeah?
One made it so when I jumped into a sky rail, my weapons were automatically reloaded. One made it so I did 50% more damage from a sky rail. And the other made it so when I jumped on or off a sky rail, I was invulnerable.
Oh, yeah, so, I know the ones you're talking
about. So every time I came into an arena that had a lot of sky rails, I'd pause, go in the menu, put all that stuff on, play out that fight, and then go back to kind of my standard loadout.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought the gunfights in that game were really well paced, if that makes sense. Like, you go in an era, and there's the people you fight, and then, like, just the way that the Reich enemies kind of get introduced to it midway through, like, especially like, something towards, like, the end, like, you'll have a handyman come in, and you're like, oh my god, it's really tense, and just the way things are sort of organized, I don't know, I thought the combat of it was really good.
Yeah, I liked it too.
If it was the combat without, like, the dressing of the Bioshock Infinite kind of stuff, I still would have think it was kind of a fun game, you know?
Yeah, oh,
I mean,
sure.
Definitely the Bioshockiness elevates all of it. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna, you know, it still is a shooter. It's just like when people are always telling me, like, oh, Uncharted's great, but the shooting isn't that good. I'm always like, what does that mean? I never understand that. And then people are always saying, I think, was that last week we talked about, like, these games shouldn't be shooters, you know? And I'm like, well, that's, why not? I like the shooting. It's fun.
That was Mark Whiting was saying. He wishes there was more story. And
I mean,
Alex Fisher was talking about how that, you know, well, you're kind of getting into Walking Dead territory. And I was like, well, you think about it. Walking Dead is like the inverse of Bioshock in a lot of ways. Like, take the story to action ratio of Bioshock and flip it.
Well, here's
and that's Walking Dead, which is, that's a thing, and that's fine, but that's not right for this game, I don't think.
It's not right. I think the violence has a place in it, one. Two, it's a $200 million game. There's no way they're going to make a game that doesn't have, you know,
shooting.
Yeah, action. You know? It's going to be, you know, I'm sorry, I don't know if I really want kind of a walking visual novel. And I like those things, but I like them specifically because they kind of break up the combat stuff. And, you know, again, when I think about, like, my favorite parts of Bioshock Infinite, I'll admit, with the exception of kind of, like, the Zeppelin that, like, sees, you know what I'm talking about, they're almost all non-combat things, like the opening and some other spoilery stuff. Like, yeah, those are the things that stick out with you.
Yeah.
I still like the shooting, though. That's so fun. What do you think about the people who are saying the game is too violent?
I don't buy that at all.
Cliffy B. I'll say the one thing.
Cliffy B said that?
Yeah, Cliffy B was like the game.
The guy who made chainsaw guns?
Yeah. And I was, yeah, it's funny. He even pointed that out. That it's
okay,
wrong,
well, he's self-aware.
Well, I'm of two minds. Right? I mostly largely disagree with it. I think that's kind of dumb. I think, I mean, look, it is a video game. It's a shooting game. And violence is kind of a part of the themes of it.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing, I don't like those skyhook execution things. That might be the one thing where it's like, eh, this doesn't even feel Bioshock-y, you know? Where you, like, push Y and you decapitate a guy.
In Bioshock, there's a guy with a drill on his hand.
No, I know, but I don't... There's something about that just seemed unnecessary to me.
I thought they were fun.
I don't know, I didn't really think they were fun. I just, like... The idea of a melee instant kill, even just from a gameplay standpoint,
it wasn't an instant kill. Yeah, the weaken him enough.
Yeah, but I know. But so I did.
It was a finishing move.
Yeah, I understand, but I still wasn't crazy about that. Especially when it's like the first thing that happens, it was a little jarring to go right from like the kind of.
But that's
on.
It's supposed to jar
yeah,
you.
I guess fair enough. But right, we'll no, but like, again, a lot of people are like, "Oh, the violence invalidates it." And there's this one article written, was it ABC or something, that everybody was linking to this week. And this guy's going on and on about how this is embarrassing. If this is like what people are pointing to as video games growing up or being art or whatever, and it shouldn't be art. But and I'm like, just calm down, everybody. Mm. The game's fun. It's really impressive. You got to give it a lot of credit for even talking about some of the things it tries to talk about. And I think successfully still. Oh, yeah. I know a lot of people don't like it because, people will either say, oh, it's really pretentious, or two, oh, it thinks it's smart, but it's actually not. If you think it's smart, you're dumb and all that stuff. I'm like, just don't worry about it so much.
It's not smart, it's just telling a story that's cool.
Mm-hmm. I still will say, the story reason for the tonics existing is kind of flimsy to me.
Yeah, they could have fleshed that out
kinda,
a little more.
They're kind of out of place. Like, the plasmids make sense in Bioshock 1. But, like, in Infinite, it's like, oh, got magic potions! And it's like...
Oh, there is an explanation.
Yeah, I know the explanation, okay. But it just doesn't fit with that world. And, like, no one uses them but you, it seems like, except for the fireman.
There's the crow guy.
Yeah, but it's like very by and large, it's like, why is there magic here?
Yeah,
it seems a little bit more out of place, and I'm glad they're there because they're fun, but it's just like a little bit. All right, what'd you else play?
You want to talk about the Injustice Gods Among Us demo?
Yeah, a little bit. It was cool. It's very much like the Mortal Kombat game, which I really liked a lot. Mm-hmm. And if there's a story mode like the Mortal Kombat game had, I think I'll be really into it. I couldn't. It was weird. I just played as Batman. It was weird. It was like circle button was just like it only did one kind of thing. Like it summoned.
It's a utility for everybody. So if you play as Wonder Woman, that switches between her lasso and her sword and shield. For Batman, it calls in those three drones and then it shoots the drones.
Right.
But you can also hit like back and circle to turn them into a shield.
Okay.
So it's just kind of like a special ability button.
Okay.
For everybody.
I that's fine. But no, it seemed cool.
Yeah. Looks good. I like the environmental interaction. That's always fun.
Right. No. Like I said, it seems to be of the caliber of that Mortal Kombat game.
Play it and talk about it next week.
Oh, that's true.
I pre-ordered it.
That's right.
So, Age of Empires 2 HD.
I mean, I'm sure it's Age of Empires. Why are you that excited about
it? I like it a lot.
You're nodding at me like an idiot.
Age of Empires 2 has always been a strangely favorite game of mine. I think what I like about it is when I play an RTS, my tendency is to turtle. Which means I build up my base and my defenses more so than my army. And in Age of Empires 2, it's a little more
feasible
to do that. Yeah, exactly. Because like, there's just something very fun about building your walls and setting up your defenses and having archers patrolling your perimeter and trebuchets set up behind the walls and just kind of building all that up and then sitting there and saying, come at me, bro.
I feel like StarCraft is like the anti-turtle RTS because it seems like
there's a lot of
units that can just like take... Like, really destroy a lot of buildings really quickly, so you can't really, like, build a bunch of turrets.
Yeah.
I say, that's what I always want to do when I'm playing those games.
Exactly. That's why I like it.
Warcraft 3 is also, like, really hard to turtle, because, like, you really need to, like, build up your hero unit.
Right,
it's like,
right. You have to get out.
Right, and it's like,
So, yeah. I mean, it's great. It's not like, HD is a little bit of a misnomer. It's the original resolution, just an expanded view.
Oh, really?
But it still looks good and everything. Fine. That game always had a lot of great detail to it. Music's great. Sound effects are classic, so that's fun. The big game I want to talk about, have you heard of Path of Exile?
I've heard of it.
Okay. It is a free-to-play isometric action RPG in the style of Diablo.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know how everyone's like, doesn't like the direction Diablo 3 went in. They wanted Diablo 2 to evolve. Then you kind of have...
Torchlight 2,
which is really just
Diablo 2.
Diablo 2.
Yeah.
So you could almost think of Path of Exile as being the evolution of Diablo 2.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do with this game is First of all, it's free to play. And literally, like, the only things you pay for are pure cosmetics. You can play the complete story, start to finish, not pay a dime, not, like, lose any powers.
So it's not a multiplayer game?
Yeah. It's in the Guild Wars 1 style, where the towns, you see people in, but then when you venture out, it becomes instanced.
That's cool.
Yeah. Skills are loot. Mm-hmm. So you don't gain skills by leveling up. They're loot that you either get from a vendor, quest rewards, or drops. And they come in three different colored gems that socket into your items like gems would socket in Diablo. Mm-hmm. And that's how you get your active abilities. Your passive abilities, you do get by leveling up, and it's the sphere grid from Final Fantasy X.
I would like that.
Literally the sphere grid.
It's funny how people seem to hate the sphere grid when it came out, and now you always hear people talk about it fondly. Yeah.
Well, here's what's kind of fun about it. So what this essentially means is your choice of character class in the beginning really only affects two things. Your starting stats and your starting position on the sphere grid. You could make a ranger and just work to immediately move her all the way to the other end of the sphere grid where the warrior stuff is, mm-hmm. and have, like, you know, a female ranger appearance, but basically be a warrior.
Is it a good looking game?
Oh yeah, looks great.
It's I might have to try it then.
Yeah, it's super fun. I really am impressed by it. The other crazy thing is no gold.
Ooh.
It's an entirely item based economy.
I kinda like that.
Yeah, it's great.
Kinda so, like that. Is there item durability?
What's that?
Is there item durability?
No.
Ooh.
So when you're selling your vendor trash, you're getting in exchange for it things like scrolls of wisdom, which are scrolls of identification,
mm-hmm.
or scraps of scrolls, and like 8 scraps make a scroll. So okay. like, you know, the cheap stuff gives you scraps. But some of the items you get, I forget the exact names, but basically you get, they're like orbs of transmutation that let you take a standard item, like a white, and turn it into a blue.
That's cool.
Then you can get ones that turn blues into greens, and greens into oranges, and oranges into purples. You could literally play through the game with the same bow you had and just keep leveling up the bow.
Who made this game?
It's a bunch of guys. Just like, we like games. We're gonna make a free-to-play online MMO sort of thing. And they did.
Hmm.
And it's really good. They seem to be very in tune with, like, keeping the community happy. Like, when players say, oh, we'd really love it if we could have our items glow red. Like, oh, fine, sure, here you go, and that's $2. They're like, oh, sweet, that's what we wanted. So here's $2.
All right.
Like, they figured it out.
Yeah, there you go.
And like I said, completely free. It's totally worth trying. It's cool. Really cool.
All right, I got that Guacamelee game.
Yeah, I'm curious about this.
Well, it's a cross-platform game for Vita, PlayStation 3, download. It's essentially a Metroidvania kind of thing. Really almost more like Cave Story.
Okay.
In a lot of ways. Except the thing is, you're a luchador, like a Mexican luchador.
Which is funny.
Right. It's funny. And so like, the combat is all, like, punches, and you can grapple people and kind of throw them around. The combat feels like it's really satisfying combat. It's weird, because, like, none of these games that I can think of are really very melee-focused. Like, the Castlevania's kind of.
The game looked cool from screenshots.
It looks it anime, real, yeah, it looks, as well it, as, like, yeah, it has a really cool style. Like, I don't know what you call that sort of Mexican art style that it does. But yeah, it's a gorgeous looking game. Excuse me, it's a little gassy there. I'm not super far into it, but it seems to have a lot of charm. You know, it takes place like in Mexico. It's the Day of the Dead, all this stuff, you know.
Well, I have a good history of that setting.
Yeah. Like I said, it seems really fun so far. The other thing I've been playing is Shoot Mania Storm.
This is for the guys who made Track
Mania.
Right,
which I've never played before.
Track Mania is fun.
What? So it's a racing game, right?
Yeah. It's a very... Remember that game Whiplash?
Yeah.
This is probably the closest thing to a modern Whiplash, but it had a very strong track editor.
Mm.
So and it was like asynchronous multiplayer.
Well, I think that's... What does that mean exactly? Asynchronous?
You're racing ghosts of other people.
Oh, well, okay, well, so this is different because you actually are playing against other people.
Right.
And it's weird because it's very simple at its core. You have one weapon, and it's essentially like a kind of... It's like a rocket launcher with no splash damage and a little fast.
Like a rail gun.
Yeah, kind of like a rail gun. It's kind of like that disc thing in Tron. Is that the rail gun?
Tribes, you mean?
Yeah, Tribes, I mean. Yeah,
yeah, okay. Kind of the rail gun is the one from Quake 3 that just shot like the beam.
Yeah, I guess. I can't really remember. And it's like, and you don't run out of ammo. Instead, like, if you wait before shooting, like, you'll have four of them, or the more, you know, like, you can have one, two, three, four charged up, and you can, like, kind of shoot them in quick succession. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you, like, just shoot, like, one at a time, like, slowly. And it's all about, and basically, you have, like, your health is just, like, how many hits you can take from this thing. So, like, you maybe, depending on the game mode, you have two life bars, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's weird, like, you can go in the only way to get other weapons is sometimes you go in specific areas, and you will only get another weapon when you're standing in that area. And then, like, your weapon will just be replaced.
And then when you leave that area,
right.
Your weapon...
So it's like, everybody's always equal. Although it's weird, because, like, those...
So, like, in theory, like, if there were a sniper perch and I got up there, I'd get the sniper
exactly,
rifle.
But it's kind of weird, because, like, so far those areas are few and small. So they're almost just, like, a non-factor, at least in the like, maps I've been playing. And like, I played a few modes, like, The one was called it was like Tornado or something like that, where it's a kind of a free for all mode, and the whole point is it's essentially an elimination mode. But there's also like a kind of pole in the middle you need to capture, and you get points by either hitting people, capturing the pole is worth points, and then once the pole is captured, like no one responds, and so being the last person alive gets you points.
Huh.
It's all about, you know, you play so many rounds, whoever has the most points wins. Then there's one, it's like it's very much like a kind of attack defense sort of thing where it's a team based one. Each team has three of those poles, and like it'll alternate. Like this team's attacking now, and this team's defending now. You know, you can only capture poles when it's your turn. There's like more creative stuff. Like the one I'm doing was it was like an obstacle course where everybody's just it's 60 minutes, and there's like a really difficult obstacle course, and you have 60 minutes to like do it as many times as you can, and there's checkpoints and stuff, and whoever does it in the fastest time during then wins. You can like vote just to go to the next map too, instead of playing it for literally 60 minutes.
I was gonna say, it's kind of long.
But yeah, it's interesting because it's like it's more complicated than you would think, because there's kind of like Tribes, there's a glide mechanic.
Ooh.
To it, and it's not like as Tribes where like the terrain's really hilly and stuff, but you can sort of glide, kind of build up speed with that. And for like some of this tricky platform, that's really important. You can even do like a wall jump, and there's like a weird kind of hook beam thing.
Oh yeah,
yes. Yeah, and it's, like I said, I haven't seen a lot of that stuff used outside of this obstacle course thing.
Yeah, is this game free to play?
I don't think it's free to play. I think you just buy it, which is weird. Cause
sounds like a free to play.
It sounds like a free to play game. I guess the problem is like, I don't know what you would charge exactly, because the whole point of it is that the community, like, it's like TrackMe, I guess, where it has a really good level editor.
Yeah.
And the whole point is that the community is going to keep making maps and modes for this game and stuff like that. So I don't know. Like, you can't charge your community maps, you know?
Right.
If you charge for your maps, people just buy those. And like I said, there's only one weapon. So if they went free to play, the only thing they could charge is cosmetic stuff, I guess. So I guess it just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense as a model for it. But it's surprisingly fun in its simplicity, and I'm going to be playing a lot of it tonight and tomorrow, so I got to crank out a review of it soon.
Cool.
All right, I think that's about it. Do you have the releases up there?
I do.
Let's see, what came out?
All right, Guacamelee on the PS3 and Vita, mm-hmm. Age of Empires 2 HD, Age of Wushu. It's a free-to-play martial arts MMORPG.
Right.
In ancient China.
Why not?
Shoot Mania Storm, Motocross Madness on the 360, next Halo map pack. Yeah.
That about it? What about the community? Anything really happened?
Oh, another one of those Dylan's Rolling Western games came out.
Oh, really? Huh. Good for them. Anything else? Did anything happen in the community?
No, I kind of was quiet there this week. I was playing a lot of Bioshock to get done with it.
Fair enough. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see. Be sure to visit us at our community site on Google+. Go to our website at ebpodcast.com. Find our past episodes. Go to Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. And go to the iTunes Music Store to leave us a review and all that good stuff. Only if it's going to be a positive one, though.
And if you want, stick around. We're going to spoil Bioshock.
Right. I don't even know what else we have to say about it, but yeah, that's a good advertisement, huh?
I have things.
If you want to, all right, if you have things you want to talk about, we'll talk about some Bioshock after the break, so no spoilers. All right, everybody, we'll see you later. Unless you're not going away. Bye!
But long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you.
All right, what do you want to talk about?
I like it.
Yeah, I know you like it. It's great.
What I liked is I didn't know it was going to become a story about quantum metaverses.
Right.
I love stories about quantum metaverses.
Did I ever show you, did you ever see the episode of Next Generation with Worf going?
Yeah.
Parallels.
And it ends with all the Enterprises.
Yeah, I love that episode. Yeah. That's exactly what it reminded me of.
Exactly.
At the end.
No, that's exactly what it is. A lot of people don't like that happened.
Right, well, because
some people see it as Bioshock's midichlorians.
No.
I disagree with that as well.
I mean, it's definitely, well, I think people were maybe, some people were off-put because they were expecting it to be this commentary about patriotism and all that stuff, kind of like how Bioshock was a commentary on, like, that Ayn Randian thing, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And really, a lot of that patriotism stuff kind of gets left behind about, like, 4 hours into that game, you know? It's, well, which, like, is kind of weird.
I think I said this last week, but Bioshock had a lot of shades of gray. This was more black and white, no pun intended.
No, I know what you mean. But, but it was kind of interesting because, like, it was all about how, like, ComSec was originally using those American figures to, like, kind of, like,
deify them.
Yeah, exactly. But he did it so that he can sort of get these people, you know, kind of worshipping and on his side and, like, give them, you know, something. But as the game kind of progresses, he replaces them with him. Even the Iron Patriots at the end, they have Comstock's face instead of George Washington and stuff like that, you know, which is kind of interesting. What do you think about, like, the final, like, spoiler, like, you know, Comstock and Booker are the same person?
Yeah, it's funny. I figured it out about an hour before that happened. I just didn't know how.
See, I figured out that Booker was Elizabeth's real father, like, pretty a good deal before that. I don't know if I quite realized that they were the same person.
I don't know if I figured that out or not. One thing that I guess the game explains, but it could have been a little more clear, is the fact that Comstock is only 38 years old.
Mm. Yeah, that I didn't
really
get.
They talk about him aging faster, but I didn't realize they meant that fast.
Yeah, I didn't get that until I kind of started looking up things and stuff.
Also, I guess there was, when I think about it, there was a line where Elizabeth asked Booker how old he is, and he's like south of 40, but older than you, or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, but I still feel like I didn't feel like my character of Booker was old enough to be Elizabeth's dad.
I mean, that's just the kind of thing. I mean, it's just hard because you never actually see him.
Right.
You don't get much of a...
do sometimes.
Right, but you don't really get a sense of his age, I suppose. But, I guess the hardest thing to get a grasp on was, like, the stuff with the Lutices. Exactly.
Oh, I think I got them figured out.
I got it figured out now, but just you had to sit there.
Oh, they were such cool characters, too.
They were cool.
I love them a lot. Mm. I love how the game plays this idea of constants and variables.
Mm-hmm.
It's
cool because there were so many parallels to Bioshock 1. You kind of see, like, that how it was, like, very much designed that way.
Well, it's cool because Bioshock 1 was kind of about how you think you have choice, but you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then this game was kind of about how choice doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It all kind of ends up the same place.
Right.
There's always the lighthouse, there's always the city, there's always the man.
Right.
You know? The part where, like, you know, you do the coin toss for heads, and, like, it's been heads every time, and so, like, that's a constant. But then, like, the variables, like, do you pick the bird or the cage? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, right, yeah, I did wonder.
And I kind of knew, like, when I was picking that, I was like, I wonder how many people are trying to analyze this, and I bet you it doesn't mean anything. And it didn't. It didn't mean anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just out of curiosity, did you get your hand stabbed?
My hand stabbed?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, no, what was this? Can I hear somebody else talk about it?
Yeah, the part where you go to get your ticket onto the ship, and that and you have the choice of shooting the guy or not.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I decided not to. He stabs your hand. And so you pull out your gun and shoot him, and then yank this knife out of your hand. And then after that fight, when you catch back up to Elizabeth, she patches it up. So for the rest of the game, my hand was bandaged. With the exception of whenever you drink a new Vigor, the bandage kind of disappeared, which was a little bit of a letdown, but whatever.
But that's kind of cool, though.
Yeah. Neat stuff like that. But again, it doesn't matter, but it still has an effect on
ultimately
things.
The point was that the ending, I thought it was neat, it was clever, and it kind of made me stop and think a bit about what just happened, which I thought I think that's not a bad way to end your game. It's certainly better than having a trite boss fight. And I know some people are upset that they didn't fight Songbird or whatever.
Which I'm glad you don't. It would have never lived up to your mental expectation of what a fight against Songbird should
have been. I actually thought
it
was pretty cool at the end when, like, he's just on your side and you're kind of directing around that ship. I thought that was neat.
I guess there's another polarizing thing. People didn't like this, which I find odd. Going back to Rapture was pretty fucking cool.
Wait, who didn't like that?
A lot of people felt it was too overt and a little pandering and fan service-y.
Oh, come on. I'll tell you, from the instant I started that game and realized that they were ripping the, like, you know, going through different reality, I was like, I hope you go to Rapture then. They had to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And two, it was awesome. Just, you know, lighten up a little bit.
And you know what I love? First of all, I think it's completely necessary, because I don't know if you notice this. It's kind of hard to see. After the Songbird dies and drifts down to the bottom of the sea, behind it...
Yeah, it's the big sister.
It's the little sister crying over a big daddy. Like, come on! How awesome is that?
Right.
That's so poetic.
It's just... It was cool. And sometimes it's fine to be cool for cool's sake. You know, it's... And I feel like I'm always saying this now. Like, I'm almost, like, trying to talk down to things or, like, being defensive. But you know what? It's a video game.
I regret...
It's okay to be a little fun.
I felt this weird sense of urgency when I was there. I regret not taking some more time to just walk around in the little Rapture area.
I mean, look. The moment when I realized, like, shit, I'm in Rapture, I was like, yes, 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 yes. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And, like, she's, like, talking to, like, Songbird and having this dramatic thing. I'm just, like, looking around, like, oh, it's just like that room. It's like for a moment, I'm like, wait, is this actually hit you? Look, like, it's the sun that says Rapture. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, me too. I was like, is this Rapture? It is. There's the thing that says Rapture.
I hadn't heard anybody didn't like. That's weird. But no, that was like a highlight of the game. I thought that was sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really was excited about that. Do you pick up that, who's the guy who runs, like, the working area?
Fink.
Fink created the Songbird because he, like, saw a tear and he saw a big daddy, or something like that. I guess that's where the Vigors came from, too.
Right,
but...
No, there's a Voxaphone that talks about that.
Okay.
That's the thing. So much of this stuff comes from Voxaphones that you may or may not
find.
Yeah,
right.
So my biggest disappointment with the game came in the section where you're trying to fight the ghost of Elizabeth's
mom. That was kind of a contrived thing with the ghost.
For three reasons. First of all, you know how, like, the game had that thing where you could push up on the D-pad and a little arrow would tell you where to go?
Yeah.
Every time I see that arrow ghost, I go, sweet, I'm going the other way.
Right.
Because I want to go explore.
Yeah, me too. So you went to the...
I got to the gravesite before.
And I couldn't do anything.
Right. But the thing was, like, when I realized where I was like, oh, this is cool. I bet, like, Elizabeth's going to do something really neat when she sees her mom's...
Yeah,
and she was just kind of standing there. And I was like, well, that's disappointing. And then, like,
I went back there
and I was like, oh, well, I kind of broke the game.
Yeah, me too. I thought that was a little weird.
That's one situation I wouldn't have minded that they gated it off or something, you know? Mm-hmm. But then, so, you fight the ghost. Some people have issue with the fact that you're fighting a ghost, but we're traveling through dimensions. That's the least of my concerns right now. But the fact that you fought her three times, that was a little excessive.
That wasn't a high point, I guess, this whole ghost thing.
And the other disappointing thing was, that whole section, you're trying to find these rifts to discover the truth. All they were just little... They were Voxaphones.
Yeah, pretty much.
You didn't see anything.
Right.
Like, they could have... I feel like they could have done a lot more with that from a storytelling perspective, where, like, you get to see these events.
Mm.
Instead, you hear people talking about the events.
And instead, basically everything is revealed when the gameplay is done. Essentially. Well, that's like, like, you have that final fight, then it's like, all right, now we're going to tell you what happened.
It's not a cutscene, but it's a cutscene.
Yeah, it's more or less a cutscene, but it's fine.
Oh, yeah.
It's cool.
I'm trying to think. There's some other point.
I really love how they have, like, the... And it's like, at first you barely even notice, and you're just, like, wondering, like, they have all these modern songs.
Oh, yeah.
They're, like, old-timey
stuff.
I
didn't find this room where you find the composer's office.
I don't think I saw that.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, like, there's a Vox where he talks about finding all these songs. Yeah, in the tears.
I mean, I know there wasn't.
I mean, I figured out that's what happened.
Well, it's cool. Like, when you go to, like, that beach and, like, they're playing, like, this, like, fair style version of Girls Just Want to Have Fun, and it's like,
yeah, I didn't even notice I was playing.
I did, and I was like, this song sounds a lot like Girls Just Want to Have Fun. That's weird. And, like, I just kind of writ it off. And,
I really hope this soundtrack comes out. Yeah. I really do.
It's cool. And then, like, you actually do find a tear where, like, it's just Unfortunate Son playing.
Yeah, I found that.
You can find some, like, girl who, like, singing it, like, all, like, a very solemn, depressed version of it.
So, in that section where you go through the tear to the future, there's like those creepy enemies that are like the ones like an alarm, basically.
Right, and that's like the one cheap scare kind of comes from one of those things. It definitely did scare me.
Boy, it scared the shit out of me.
Because by and large, Bioshock Infinite is not like a horror game like Bioshock was. You know, yeah. It's not really scary.
Could you imagine, I think just mentally thinking how creepy that was. That like you're reading that, and the whole time the thing's just standing behind you, like waiting for you to turn around.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
I was like, oh, get out of my head, creepy kind of... George Washington. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was fun. God, there's some other point I wanted to make, and now I'm forgetting it.
My ultimate point is, does the game have flaws? Yeah, it has some flaws. And people are taking kind of almost too much delight in kind of analyzing those. And it happens with any game that ends up getting like a 96 Metacritic or whatever. People kind of resent the popularity.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't care.
No, but it is a thing. And look, my point is, if you played through that whole game and you didn't enjoy your experience,
I don't know what to tell you.
Ryan, I don't want to say like you're a little cold hearted, right? I don't know. Maybe you just have different...
Triple A video games just may not be for you.
Right. You know, that's a point too. And that's another thing. Like, if you kind of knew what you were getting into with this, you know?
Right.
That's like the violence thing, I think.
It's oh, like. I remember what I was going to say. So, can there be another Bioshock
that's,
game?
Oh, yeah, I want to say that too. That's what, like, there's going to be...
Like, it's been so well explained now.
Like, the idea of, like... Even, like, the idea of single-player DLC, I'm like, what the heck's that gonna be?
Well, single-player DLC, they could just, like, tell some more stories in Columbia.
I guess.
Do stuff with the Vox Populi and things like that. But I don't think there can be another Bioshock game. And I almost wonder... We talked about this in that hangout. I almost wonder if Ken Levine did this on purpose. So that he doesn't become the next Kojima, making right. Bioshock games forever. I mean, 2K can make another Bioshock if they want. They've done it already.
Right.
But Ken Levine can't anymore.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I guess you can. It's just, like, what do you talk about now?
I mean, like, oh, there's a city, there's the guy, there's the lighthouse. Ooh, I wonder what's going to happen.
Again, like, where would you even set it anymore?
Right.
Unless he does space again, which, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, is that enough Bioshock talk?
Yeah!
All right, yeah, it's a great game. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye.